Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Anite Podcast Season 5, Episode 3. I am your occasional host, Proton Storm, and with me today, I have some lovely young laddies here today. We've got the Mr. Pizza.
Oi.
Ray Kaze.
Hey.
Requiem.
Kanabonwa.
And much to my chagrin, Gugsy is also joining us today.
Little young laddie.
What? You know, fun thing about this podcast is I think this is the first time both me and Pizza are on, so guaranteed the editor is going to be listening to this.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, the editor is making this, so the editor is definitely listening to this, that's for sure.
They're going to be on it. Yeah.
Here we are. We've arrived. We're in the midst of good old February, and we've been watching some winter 2020 anime season shows. And so I really want to start this episode with discussing a little bit of some of the shows that each of us wanted to like talk about a little bit now that we're kind of mid-season. And so first off, I am going to give you, do not disappoint me, Gugsy, I'm giving you a chance to talk about that Budokan show. First off, what is it called and why do you want to talk about it?
Oh, you're giving it to me. Okay, so the show that I want to talk about is, in English, it's called If My Favorite Pop Idol Made It to the Budokan, I Would Die. Are any of you watching this show, or is it just me?
I'm watching it.
You are watching it. Okay, so maybe, we'll talk this out. I think, like, I want to enjoy the show, but in the back of the, okay, so, for the three of you who are not watching the show, it's about a female person who has a giant
female
crush.
Person.
A woman who has a giant crush on one of the members of this idol group and becomes like one of those stans and that like goes to every single fan meeting and is like front of the line.
Yeah.
And like, I need to go to events and all this stuff. I need to be front row. And it's funny and it's okay, but the niggling thought that I have in the back of my mind.
Let me guess, please.
And well, yeah, go ahead.
Is it that if the main character was a guy, it'd be incredibly creepy?
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Nailed it. Holy shit.
That's exactly my problem with it. So I don't know. Pizza, you're watching this, right? So I don't know.
What do you think about actually.
This? I thought you. Did you say you're not?
No.
Yeah, I'm sorry. We're not weebs here, Gugsy.
Who then? I thought someone said they were
just,
watching
it's
this.
It's just me, Rikaze.
Oh,
yeah.
So you have the same problem that I do. Okay,
I didn't think about it until it was mentioned in our like collab chat. Like,
exactly. I didn't think about it either because I was like, "Oh, this is okay." Like, this girl is weird, but like, all right, whatever.
What does she do? What does she do?
She's like really overkill excited about this chick. Like. An unhealthy level of excitement, like buys all the merch, goes to every event.
Yeah, buy all the merch, like everything. It's really unhealthy. It really like she crosses a point where like she's in love with this girl.
Yeah,
sort of.
Yeah.
And wait, I thought she was in love with a male idol group.
No, it's a female idol group.
It's a female idol group. That's why it's weird. That's why at the back of my mind, like once someone said that, I was like, "Oh wait, this would be really weird." Holy
yeah,
shit.
It'd be unwatchable.
It'd be unwatchable. Because then it would be like, "Oh my god, I'm watching a stalker."
Uh huh. But you're still watching a stalker. It's just
you're
more.
You're still watching a stalker. It's just it's a same sex stalker, which for some reason seems like it's
societally acceptable, but it's still acceptable. Not. You know,
so what
the show is, it's about fandom, right? It's not about idols. It's about the idol fans. At the same time,
fans act that way already to begin with.
Yeah.
So,
but what I was going to get at is a lot of idol fans, like, that is literally, like, that's the game, is you get a group of hardcore dedicated fans who buy all the shit, go to everything, and they're, like, obsessed with these idols. That's basically what the whole industry centers around.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So it's like, oh, yeah, wait, this is actually real people who are like this. So it's like, it comes at you at both angles. You're like, oh, wow, this is really fucking weird. But then you realize, wait a second, to do that, you have to be, like, that ridiculous. I guess. Yeah. If you want to get
access,
if you want to be front row access to something, you're gonna have to work or do something incredible to, like, get that access.
Yeah.
So
can I put in some 2 cents about the show?
Go.
You get 3 cents.
I think that it's actually fairly enjoyable because the banter between the fans is fairly enjoyable. Like ignoring the, like, interactions with the idols, like, because that's such a minor part of the show. They only appear
They only
appear for, like, 5 minutes of, like, a 25-minute show. So, like, most of the time it's about the fans, and it's
an interesting fun concept,
kind of meta-ish, but not really, look at, like, fandom, and I appreciate it, but, like, you know, it is a bit troubling at times, and I don't know. It's kind of fun because of, like, how absurd the main character is. Like, I'm sure there's some real fans that are this bad, but, like, comedic. Okay. Like, how bad
there's probably there are fans that are worse.
Yeah, there are.
Yeah,
that's like there's fans that are worse.
Know. It plays things positively, even though it does. Like, none of the stuff should be positive. I don't know.
It feels like it sounds to me like it's something that's, like, for those hardcore, like, fans. Like, it's for like the idol stands, basically. Like, they want people who kind of identify with this to be enjoying this show and then hopefully get obsessed, you know, ironically with their own self inserts.
Right? And then buy all the merch of those self inserts.
Exactly. So it's like,
it's an interesting show.
But it does, but, like, everything behind it, like, undermines that. So it makes it even more complicated to, like, think about the show.
Yeah. So it's your anime of the season, Gugsy, would you say?
No.
So, but, in conclusion.
It's just weird.
It's just weird to think about, and a lot I want to talk about with a lot of other people because it's very confusing. Like, it's very confusing what to think about these competing thoughts that we have. Anyway.
You're having such a hard time to process your emotions towards this show. It's like a bad relationship.
Right. Possibly.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But on that note, there is a certain individual here who is very into a particular new anime that's been airing recently. Oh, that individual is Pizza, and he knew it was him. And what anime is that, Pizza, and why are you into it, and how into it are you exactly?
Well, I'm really into the new anime called Inspector. And the first 3 episodes were so gripping that I actually bought the first 10 volumes of the manga on Comixology. Because I just wanted to know what the heck was going to happen. Yeah. Well, actually, it wasn't the third episode that I bought everything. It was the second.
Oh, my gosh. If it was the third episode, it would be okay. But the second, that's just too far.
You mean too early? Oh, whatever. But Jesus Christ. Well, I have an interesting history with Inspector in that I actually bought up the first volume, like, a couple years back when it was, like, kind of new on Comixology. And
so you had past experience with it or no?
Yes. Yeah, I did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I was vaguely aware of it, but after reading the first volume, I just didn't continue because it didn't really grip me. But the first two episodes just really pulled me in because it was a very interesting take on just kind of the, I'd say the Arthur Conan Doyle mystery genre, like the armchair detective genre.
Uh-huh.
And I just love how it incorporated the supernatural elements into the story while also putting a spin on the mystery genre itself. Like, this show is mostly about perception of the truth or what happened, and it's also kind of about story, so it's kind of like a meta mystery, which is just something I've never seen before, and it's just done so well because it has really fun characters and it just has really fun mysteries. Like, holy crap, I love Kotoko.
Did they solve the snake mystery already?
Yeah. Okay. Well, they solved it. It wasn't like exactly, you didn't learn the exact truth, but it was resolved. Yeah,
that's what made that great, was that she trying to solve the mystery. She was trying to appease the snake god. Yeah. Give her an answer that was good enough for her to go away and calm down. Whether she actually solved the mystery or not was not relevant.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what makes
the show so interesting. It takes things from a different perspective.
You're explaining a completely different show right now.
No, because the snake isn't the police, right?
The snake doesn't need to know what the actual thing is, but the truth. Right.
So what the main character did, she explained a truth that sounded right.
Yes.
It might not have been the truth.
Mm. Yeah, it's plausible. Like, there was evidence. There was, like, possible evidence to point to her explanation, but you didn't exactly know the exact truth because the perpetrator never told you.
Yeah.
So you essentially got to use your imagination to fill in the blanks, which was really interesting and really fun because it just kind of felt like a little bit more. It was a little bit more than just investigating clues. It was trying to find a conclusion from all the details you had. It was kind of like a Phoenix Wright game, except you aren't exactly solving cases. You're just telling a fun story in some respects.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's not a detective. Like, it's not a mystery show specifically. Her job, she is an intercessor. She's a problem solver. Her job is to solve problems involving the supernatural. But she works for them. She doesn't work for us.
Yeah.
She's solving their problems. Yeah. And she does it without, there's not, usually, like, her job isn't to fight them necessarily unless she absolutely has to. And her job is not to exorcise them. It's just to solve whatever problem they came to her with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's a fantastic show.
It's a good show.
It's a great show.
It's a lot of fun. And we haven't even gotten to the characters and
we're
the dialogue.
We're not even talking about the gremlin.
Yeah,
the gremlin is the best gremlin ever. Yes.
I really think she's so great.
She's such a great character.
I know.
Where did the gremlin story come from? Who started that meme?
It's a really
good way to describe her because she's just such a little spunky, sometimes kind of an asshole, but in a way that you like her.
Yeah, she's like a mischievous little cat.
Yeah, she's very cat-like.
If you guys don't know, but if you're in the anything chat, the Rex picture right now is moments before she gets punched in the face.
It's hilarious.
she does meep, which is the funniest thing. Having her interact with her semi-boyfriend's ex-girlfriend is some of the best shit I've ever seen.
Yeah, I think the character interactions really carry the show. The mystery is great, but then like the characters are so fleshed out so early on that it's very easy to get invested in the characters.
Yeah, and plus it has really good comedic timing as well. Like this is a good mystery, but it's also really funny. It just kind of, like, if I had to compare it to something, it's kind of like Knives Out, where you have Daniel Craig as a small gremlin girl who doesn't have a really silly accent, but it's just has a ton of personality and is really fun.
You know, it's funny to me that this is coming out now because We actually, like, when Matt and I were doing Takobon, like, 4 years ago, Matt wrote a review for the first volume of the manga when it came out in the U.S.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's just super weird. It's been, like, 4 years, and now it's actually getting an anime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, spectacularly well animated as well.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, Proton, you can't forget how long it took for Parasite to get an anime. Like, there's...
Yeah.
I'm not surprised. I'm actually kind of surprised that a lot of older stuff hasn't actually been revived. Well, actually, I take that back, because some old stuff actually has been getting revived.
Yeah, they've been doing it recently, like Orphan.
Yeah, like Orphan. Right, yeah.
Yeah, Orphan, and then Dororo from a couple seasons back, and then Bem that same season.
Good old Bem. Watched by me and like maybe three other people.
Yeah. All three of them enjoyed it. So
it was kind of fun in a very, very odd way.
So, Reikaze, you're watching Id Invaded, right?
Yeah.
So I know this has been kind of like, I mean, I had never heard of it before the before we started discussing it in the chat, but it seems like Id Invaded has been like a hot topic for the last few days. It seems like people have very mixed opinions on it. Why do you think that is?
I don't know. I'm assuming it's ID, but yeah, I don't know. I really like the show. It's like a mystery show, episodic mystery where you have a case and the main character jumps into like crime, like time capsule crystal things. Like it's some technological babble that no one really cares about. But he hops into this world that is created by feelings of trying to murder, and it's the and it's a fun time. The main character, I mean the main detective, gets amnesia every time, but it's fun to just see him go through these mysteries and find clues. I'm not the kind
main
of
character has amnesia.
So I'm kind of confused. So this guy goes into the brains of serial killers, right? That's what this is?
And he has amnesia when in the serial killer's mind.
Oh, well, yeah. Rock, when I first saw it, I saw the show, I thought the main character would essentially assume a persona and essentially...
He's like,
but he doesn't have any memories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, basically...
No memories of what he did before in the same world. No memories of him himself. Mm-hmm. He assumes this like brilliant detective persona, and his goal is to like solve the crime. But like outside of that, he doesn't remember anything. And
I watched the first few episodes of I Invaded, and I didn't. I just like there was a separation between the virtual world and the real world.
In the real world,
the virtual world. Everything was going on there. I was like, okay, I'm very interested in. But then the real world would come in, and I was just like, I
really like don't care about that. The main character in the real world.
You do?
And okay. I do. I think his character is fascinating. Not he's not a good character, but he's an interesting.
Well, I mean, he's kind of nothing.
Wait, he's not a good character. Hold on.
He's
You're gonna need to elaborate on that.
A good person. He's not a good person.
Okay, that's really good.
He's
okay.
A fascinating character. He's not a good person.
Okay.
He's a criminal, and that's the reason he's doing these things. But it's an interesting look at like he's been basically grinded down because of all of these, and his knowledge can like really screw with others. And I don't know. It's a lot of like. I feel like it's trying too hard to sound cool a lot of times, but its episodic nature really helps it for me.
What's the virtual and real? Like, can you explain that to me? Because that's when it takes me out.
So the real world, they're trying to solve a crime, right?
Right. Yes.
They capture these particles of murderous intent, and with technology, they're able to recreate a world from that murderous intent. And then they have this character dive into that world because technology, bibble babble.
So wait, why do they have him dive into the world?
Technology bibble babble.
So this is like to catch the guys,
to catch the real criminal.
So how does that? How does that like connect to catching them? Like you go in and you realize why they kill.
Like how are you? How does this connect to?
There's hints in the world that show real places they've been to because it's their subconscious. And there's but elements.
That's telling you as you go. That's not telling you beforehand. You wouldn't know that beforehand. I mean, and that's what the question is asking you.
What do you mean?
I don't know what that means either, Gugsy.
Right.
It's a serial killer case or something like that. Okay. Like repeated criminal. So you know the past case. And you can find information about the guy from the past case.
So anyways, the psychological exploration and stuff like that is interesting to you, right?
Yeah, the appeal for me is it's an episodic mystery that is very engaging. It has a lot of nice style during the show itself. It's a fun watch. I don't really think much of it, like, outside of watching it. But it's a show that's been, like, kind of overlooked. Like, no one's talking about it.
And it's come up in Anite, but it seemed like there was a lot of there's a lot of mixed reactions to it. Like I mean, like for example, like Ed was in love with this show, but then I know that Deck and Gugsy were haters. So
I'm enjoying it
for ID.
I think it's a fun time, and I think people should give it a watch because it's the kind of show that like I've been burnt on, but this time it's not burning me yet. So,
All right, that's fair enough. What about you, Requiem? You watch anime, right?
On occasion.
On occasion, says the one who watched most anime out of us here.
Yeah.
For now.
For now, I guess. It's a competition.
That used to be me, and I just haven't been able to watch anime.
Yeah, Gugsy used to be King Weeb, but now he's like Jester Weeb.
God, I was at the point where I could do like 100 anime a year. And now I'm like, Jesus, 10 maybe at most.
I've been. But really
I feel like you watch
anime,
a lot of premieres though. You just like drop things.
Yeah, I do. I try to watch all the premieres, and then I try to keep up with things I like.
See, I don't think there's anything wrong with that, right? Like, because when you were watching 100 shows a year, you were not enjoying all 100 of those shows, right?
No, I was.
So some might argue that perhaps you have a more healthy viewing lifestyle now, as opposed to many of the other animasochists on this very channel.
I'm just saying no comment.
But on that subject, Requiem, you watch anime, you're watching a lot of anime, and there's a particular show set in Academy that you're enjoying.
Yeah, I mean, trust me, the way I do it isn't healthy either, so...
It's probably the least healthy of us all around here.
Watching 18 episode series season probably isn't the right way to do it either.
Yeah, I feel like Rec
and I have very similar like tastes, but then there's a certain direction, and then it just goes out change everything.
Well, usually it shows is arguing about which shows are funny.
Right. But, well, yes.
So Gugsy, have you seen Set in Academy?
I saw the first episode and fuck, I did not like it at all.
And I'm like, well, then here we go. We've got a point of difference. Requiem, why do you like it?
Well, you know what? I get where he's coming from because when I saw the first episode, I even wrote it like in the chat. I think I talked about it on another podcast.
Yeah.
The first episode, it just throws you into it and you feel like you're high. You're like, I have clearly taken something and not realized it because I'm having some kind of trip. Because this is not a show that exists. This is a show that my brain is inventing. I've watched too much anime, and now my brain has invented this show. But I kept watching it, and I feel like I don't want to like it, but I fucking do. I really do. It's so ridiculous, and it's so absurd, but it's also really kind of clever.
Is the main girl the tsundere?
Not at all. We're missing some key details here, though. What the hell is the show? What is it about?
He's a human who goes to a school populated by anthropomorphic animals, where the male animals they all wear clothes and they all talk and whatever, and they're basically human, except that the male animals look essentially like a standing clothes wearing version of the animal, and the females, of course, are all basically humans with animal ears or tails or whatever.
Oh my god.
Do you see that? You're like, oh, this is going to suck. This is going to be fan service like crazy.
It's going to suck.
And then, like, the main character keeps talking about how much he hates animals, even though he seems to have, like, an endless, like, world book level of, like, animal facts at his disposal. and he meets the wolf girl, who's the primary character, not a tsundere, by the way, who wants to form, has a dream of forming a pack out of animals, of different kinds of animals, instead of just a pack of their own. And so they end up in a cooking club, which is essentially her pack. And it's just, the show is just about their club and like and being, having as much fun with animal puns and animal traits that would set up jokes as possible. Like the male lion has a harem. Because of course he does. He rules a pack of lionesses, so he has a harem until he loses his mane and they all abandon him. Or the student council president is a naked mole rat. So she, not only does she the queen of like a group of these naked mole rats who are all hilarious, but like she keeps ripping her clothes off because she can't stand wearing clothes. Because she's a naked mole rat. There's a lot of like the nerds are donkeys because they're smart asses. That's the kind of level of genius. Actually good. That's the level of genius we're working with here. Like it's so stupid and so clever at the same time.
Short. Is this a short?
No, it's not a short. They're full size.
Oh no!
Hey, this is comedy, all right. So either you watch it and you think it's funny, or you watch it and you think it's shit. I can't help you if you don't think it's funny. All I know is that if you stick with it a couple episodes, you'll find out whether this is your particular brand of funny. But for me. Yeah. I'm 4 or 5 episodes in now, and this shit cracks me up. It really does, because it's just so dumb, but in the most intentional way. Like, you can tell they did their research and their work to find the animals and the animal jokes they wanted to make.
Yeah, like the one with the koala and eating her.
Yeah, the one with the koala and the eating of things that we won't talk about. Or the fact that... Like the koala is super strong because there's an urban myth that has the grip strength of 100 tons or something.
What was that one meme, like drop bears? Have you guys ever heard of that?
Oh yeah, the drop bears, the koalas like attack you from the trees.
Yeah. There's this whole thing where like Australians will try to mess with tourists and they'll be like, oh yeah, look out for the drop bears. And then it's literally, you know, just Photoshop pictures of koalas with large fangs.
What?
They have a lot of fun with the koala and like she joined the cooking club because she didn't want to eat eucalyptus anymore.
People fall for that shit all the time.
Did you guys see that promotional image thing for whatever was supposed to be the new Lilo and Stitch?
What?
No.
Moana?
Like the CG version?
That CG version it was a
nightmare fuel
monster?
Yeah.
Like, holy shit, is that really what you're going to present to the public? Anyway.
Nah, I think that was a fan-made thing.
God, it got passed around everywhere. Because that was crazy. That was...
So there is one more anime that I wanted to talk about today.
And that anime you're back on track, okay.
Is Gugsy's favorite anime. He's really, much like all the other anime we've talked about today, he's a really big fan of Darwin's Game. And so Darwin's Game, as a brief introduction, is another one of those death game anime. And the basic premise is that this dude, I think his name's like Kaname, he gets an invitation on a cell phone app to join this like app game or whatever, and he's like, oh yeah, sure, it's probably just some gacha shit. And then he joins. and it turns out that he's lucky because it's not gacha, so he's not gonna have to throw away his life. Instead it's a death game. And in this death game, I mean the death game's got better odds of him winning something, that's for sure. And so in the death game in this death game, the whole idea, right, is that like randomly you'll get like dropped into matches periodically. And people basically like fight each other to the death, and then, you know, if you kill someone, you win the match, and then even if they don't die, if they lose the match outright, then the game like kills them, turns them into like some block shit. And so it's a death game, and it seems spicy, but I know that it's probably the most hotly debated, anime of the season right now, at least around these Anite parts. Gugsy, you hate this one. Why?
Darwin's Game? I don't hate it. That's not at all what I think. It's trying to be. I already talked about this earlier. That it's trying to be a death game when the all right. If we're talking about death game anime, what would you guys already say?
Future Diary.
Like Future Diary, yes. And Killing Bites is another one.
They said yeah. King's Game. Genie Tyson.
Yeah, Genie Tyson.
I like but, that one.
I don't know why they're still making Death Game anime because nothing's going to touch King's Game.
No. It's not. So that's what I tried to compare it to those shows. The Future Diary or for Killing Bites or King's Game or whatever. And the characters in this show are not interesting. So I am not interested. And so it makes the whole thing feel worthless to me.
Okay, but I feel like you say the characters are not interesting, so I am not interested. But like, what does that mean? Yeah, what does that mean? How are they not interesting?
Well, it made me think for a little bit. This seems like a death game, and yet I don't really care about whether they live or die. Is my point.
Okay. But why? And you said they're uninteresting.
But why? Because why are they uninteresting? But it's because of everything that the show has done so far. I don't know.
Okay. So like you're saying, like, for example, like you don't think they have personalities.
Like I'm pretty sure that everyone's going to die and I'm going to, but it's going to show me how and why everyone's going to die. Does that make sense?
I think so, but you're saying the characters are uninteresting, and I'm not sure that explains that part. Like, why are they uninteresting? Are they just like, are they
because just, I'm, like, one-dimensional? I actually think everyone's going to die right now.
Well, everything dies eventually.
Along the timeline, your survival rate drops to zero.
I mean, okay, you watch Vinland Saga, and you think everyone's probably going to die in Vinland Saga, but you like that one, so that can't be the only reason why you don't like this.
I mean, well, but then wouldn't that just mean that it feels like the stakes are too low in this show, I guess? I'm not watching it. It radiates too much Kingsy energy for me.
Kingsy energy.
All right, well, so that was a very thorough and detailed explanation, Gugsy. Thank you very much. But is anyone else in this podcast watching Darwin's Game right now?
I only watched the first two episodes. No, only the first episode, because it was a goddamn hour long, and...
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, it was a double feature. But I wasn't really impacted with it, like... If I had to say anything about the show, is that it looks good, sounds good, and it's acted well. It's just doesn't really catch my interest. Mm-hmm. Like, essentially, the other gimmick of Darwin's Game is people have this evolution. So they're basically Pokemon. No, I'm joking. No, it's basically alluding to Darwin's theory of evolution, where people essentially get their own special, super special power. And basically, the main character has Emiya's power from Fate Stay Night, where he can basically make anything he knows or something like that.
Wait, so they call them evolutions?
Yes.
Okay, what the hell?
So on the nose.
They don't call it... Hold on.
There's a reason why it's called Darwin's Game.
No, wait. Stop. They do not call them evolutions in the Japanese. They call them sigils in the Japanese.
Oh, yeah.
That's a translation choice if they're calling them evolutions.
I think it's sigils. I'm just misremembering it.
Okay.
I'm just calling it evolutions because it's Darwin's Game, and I need to find a reason for why it's called Darwin's Game.
Yeah.
Spiral of the Fittest, I'm assuming?
Yeah. It's pretty on the nose. I mean, if you're gonna make a death game, then I guess Darwin's Game I actually think it's a decent naming scheme to go with. I mean, it's pretty heavy-handed, which might be a little bit like to some people, but I think that it gets the meaning across really aggressively. But it's also not just like literally death game or something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah. But as long as the work is good, the name really doesn't matter, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Not really.
I would say, like, so I had actually read some of the manga, I think, like, a year ago, and I didn't like it very much. I thought the manga was pretty lame, but the anime adaptation's actually better. I think that it's a good adaptation, and It's not mind blowing, but yeah. I think that it is probably better than the manga, in my opinion.
Huh.
The manga The manga felt really mediocre to me, and I think that it's part of some of the arguments that Gugsy was making, except in more detail, right? Like it did feel, for example, that the main character Kaname, for example, is an uninteresting character, just like Gugsy said. Except here's the point, is that when I say uninteresting, I just mean he's obviously a self-insert character, but he doesn't really do anything beyond that role. He's just kind of like, oh, I'm thrown into this death game. He's a very like, he's very bland. He's like, oh, I've got to survive. And that's like his personality trait.
Yeah. And he gets and a gun the other in thing his is, first gacha roll.
Right. Know. And then the other thing is that there's the female companion, like Shuka or whatever, she's clearly set up to just be, you know, like some sort of like waifu material. Like she's just like what's the word? Like she just doesn't have her thought processes don't seem to have any discernible pattern. Most of the time, it's just kind of like, okay, here's this girl who's like kind of loopy and she's really into this main character now. And she wants to create, and she uses terminology that could be misleading, which is, you know, that could potentially, he could interpret as something sexual because she says she wants to make a family with him. And then the family, oh, but it turns out that just means a clan in the game. Except she wants to go on a date with him, except she's actually just doing that because we're like scouting out the area. But we're trying on dresses, which has absolutely nothing to do with the game. So it's definitely a date, right? And it's like, I don't know. I felt like those sort of like developments are, it's just the classic like, I don't know, like manic pixie dream girl sort of setup with this girl. And it just wasn't. So she's not interesting because of that. And he's not interesting because really his role is to just follow along and then pull shit out of nowhere to kill people with in the battles. And so I was never really like that into it because it didn't seem that innovative on either front. And they're kind of like, they're the main power couple and they didn't really seem to have that much going for them, in my opinion. But I do think that the anime has a little bit more flash than the manga. And so even though I still don't necessarily think, I mean, we're only a few episodes in, but I don't necessarily think the characters are that interesting. I do think I kind of enjoy some of like the death game, you know, like hijinks, because it is like a more like the one thing that's nice about death games is that they're always very like suspenseful. And if you know what you're doing, you can really capitalize on that. And I'm not saying that Darwin's Game necessarily always does so, but I think that it's more competent than some of the really bad death games that we've been getting lately, which is nice because I like the concept of a death game and I would like to see a competent series pull it off. So who knows?
Yeah.
Have you seen good death games? Like what would you consider a good death game?
I've never seen a death game that I didn't have major caveats in terms of like recommending it. But if I had to pick, the one that's probably stuck with me the most is Future Diary. And Future Diary, I think, and the funny thing about Future Diary is as a death game, I feel like it's a mixed bag. But some of like the emotional moments in Future Diary were really effectively delivered, which I think is what really puts it over the top. For a lot of people, I know obviously the meme is that it kind of spawned the whole like yandere, like sub character, like sub archetype. But I think that it had some things going for it in that respect. So I did that one does stick to my mind right now. But other than that,
I just find it so interesting that like nowadays we all have like such negative associations with like death games and stuff. Yeah. But like back in the day, one of my favorite books, I still think it's one of my favorite movies, was the
Battle Royale. Yeah.
And then like 999 is also kind of a death game. So right. Like for years, I've just had these positive connotations with this. And then
I think the genre of the death game is really, it lends itself to like a really B movie pulpy kind of aesthetic. And so you end up with stuff that's either terrible and in an unbelievable way, like King's Game, which is bad at levels like you couldn't think you could reach, or Killing Bites, which is great, but only if you have a certain kind of taste.
Yeah, I feel like the other thing too is that it's one of those things that feels kind of underexplored, right? Like, so right now, for example, the whole like light novel industry in general is just so filled with, you know, like high school rom-coms. And isekai like power fantasies, right? And it's like you basically can't get published unless you're writing one of those two things.
And or an isekai rom-com.
Right, yeah, which they do. And the whole concept,
death game.
But and here's my point though. Here's and the same thing sometimes like visual novels, right? There can be a lot of visual novels, like a lot of the biggest ones, in my opinion, for example, like Nekopara or some of these other ones that have been out recently. It feels like there's this brilliant idea, right? Like a visual novel, in my opinion, has one of the highest potentials for storytelling out of any medium. And light novels are really great because they're cheap. Like the whole concept is that they're cheap and relatively short books. And that's then they're serialized with a relatively regular frequency. That doesn't, like, those restrictions within that genre do not require them to be bad. It just happens that a lot of the current industry trends, at least obviously in my subjective opinion, lend themselves to creating mediocre products. Yeah, and so totally Death agree. Games, I feel like, are the same way. Like, I feel like, and I agree with Requiem, like, I think that they sort of do lend themselves to that B-movie aesthetic, but they don't have to, right? Like, someone could write a death game that could be brilliant, but the problem is that people go for the easy way out, and so the entire, like, sort of subgenre, if you will, is filled with mediocre productions, and it's too bad because I think they could be much better.
Mm-hmm. I feel the same way about isekai, is that there's so much shit isekai, but it's still entirely possible. It's still entirely possible to write a good isekai, to use that idea and that genre to make a good show or a good light novel if you put in some work.
I totally agree with
you. I feel like with isekai, I mean, this is kind of a hot take, but like there's actually the reason it's popular is because there is a lot of quality isekai. Like a lot of people just like totally disregard or ignore isekai as a genre because of course it's a fucking isekai, right? But then a lot of my favorite like works in the past, at least in the otaku media like stuff, have been isekais just because they're well written.
So which ones? Which ones?
Tanya, Saga Tanya of Evil comes to mind.
Yeah, that's great. That's good stuff.
The Descendants of a Bookworm comes to mind. I've been reading a light novel called The Magic in This World is Too Far Behind, and that's one of my favorites.
Oh yeah.
There's a bunch. Yeah. Grimgar is another. Yeah. Grimgar is amazing.
Grimgar.
I can pull like just a bunch of like stuff that J Novels picked up, frankly. I feel like J Novel has a pretty high hit rate with
that was the
quality light novels.
What was the question? What are we working on? Hold on.
We've been talking about Death Games and Darwin's Game.
Yeah, we just that this needs to be a
right. So I'm wrapping. Like, so
it needs a refocus.
it's a fair. I think this is a fair point, and we do need to wrap it up to move on. But just as kind of that final note on the isekai subject is that I agree. Much like Death Games, I think that it's a vague concept that can and has been delivered on. It's just become so popular, and the industry trends now just make it so that the things that are coming out in this genre are regrettably oftentimes mediocre, but not all of them.
Mm-hmm. Not all of them, but I think this is on one
that,
of them.
Right, and okay. That, I don't know. I have a strong opinion about Darwin's Game, frankly. I did not like the manga, and I'm lukewarm on the anime, I guess.
We're together.
But we are now moving on to our new section. And Gugsy, you want to be a talkative young lad now, so I'm going to give you, when we move into our new section, we've got our first news story. Gugsy will be introducing it for us. Gugsy, what's going on in the world of anime production?
Okay, so from what I can gather, and I apologize to fans out there because I don't know enough about this, but that there is a male idol anime show called A3. And I don't know anything about it, but that it's being postponed and has production issues, and that it will start on February 3rd. That's all I have. AI3. I don't know.
They seem pretty serious because
really bad.
Yeah, like they delayed the fourth episode by like a month, and they're like airing the first three episodes over the next couple of weeks.
Two and three are the episodes next in the next week, and then four is the one that's canceled, and I have no idea when that's coming.
Yeah, but they're re-airing two and three, I think.
Are they? Yeah, like I have no idea.
Yeah, Yeah. They're rebroadcasting episodes 2 and 3 to buy time for episode 4. Yeah. And looks they had, like it's failing. They had an event where they were going to show like a live screening of an episode. That's canceled.
Yeah. Jeez. Now, it feels like with all of those anime production horror stories that you read behind the scenes, you know, yeah, it seems is, like so many of them. Yeah, so many of them are like terrible, and they just barely manage to pull off like something. They roll something out the door, they break all the rules,
and then they make it, and it's gone.
Yeah, and then in this case, though, what's interesting is that it's clearly a rare example, and hopefully not something that will become more common, but a rare example of the production collapsed so badly that they just straight up had to stop for a month.
These anime boys are cute. Like, I mean, I have no instinct to be like, no, like fuck these guys. If you can figure it out, figure it out.
Well, never mind.
But in other news, though, there is another anime that has been canceled, if you will, except this one has been canceled in a perhaps different
way. Oh, no.
Very different way.
Yeah. Yeah. Ray Kaze, what's going on with this?
I feel like there's actually two news stories we got to talk about here. Because the one of the highest rated anime on MAL was taken off of Funimation, and then a bunch of people got upset because it's porn. It is. Interspecies Reviewers was porn, basically. And then Funimation took it off even after they dubbed it. And then the Japanese TV broadcasters also were like, wait, what the fuck? And then they took it off. And get this. They replaced it with a boat show. So, A nice boat show. So cue the memes of, like, Ishikan Reviewers got nice boated.
So we say porn, right? But like this is like actually like basically straight up porn, right? Like I mean, I obviously have not seen this.
It's like Cinemax softcore after midnight kind of, because there's no genitals and there's no penetration, so it's not literally porn.
But don't they? I read in the article that like he like sleeps with these people, right?
Yeah, the whole point is that we're viewing different monster girls in brothels. Yeah, that is the entire point of the show. And apparently in the manga, they meet the girls and the sex part cuts away and they go to like a blurb about the review. The anime decided to animate those encounters. But of course, they're not animating actual full-on sex that you can see, because that would just be hentai. They're not actually going that far. But they're going right up to it as far as they can.
I actually would rather ask the question, who is actually thinking up having sex and then blanking out and being like, and randomly describing the topic of sex with this random ass creature and being like, oh, what happened here? And like, no.
Well, it's Monster Girls. It's a whole subgenre.
I suppose, but this is a reviewer?
No. Yeah, the idea was, what if someone did Yelp reviews of brothels?
Jesus Christ.
And then someone took the idea of, well, what if they did Yelp reviews of brothels that happen to have monster girls in them? That's the whole point. You can see the logical progression. It's right there.
It's right there, Gugsy. Come on. It's obvious. It just makes sense.
Losing my mind. I
hear about this, though, and especially the MAL list thing where they're trying to, like, you know, bump it up as high as possible. And then I'm like, wow, I really wonder why anime is considered weird by people sometimes. I just can't imagine where they get that idea from.
The knee-jerk reaction when anyone does anything to porn it infuriates me. Like, people get so upset about this stuff.
Censorship, where's my titty?
I just don't like the censorship stuff. I really, like, people lose me most of the time when they start to get into censorship arguments. Because most of the time, what most people in the internet these days call censorship is not actually censorship at all.
Yeah, like, this Funimation thing. It's like, they didn't delete it. They didn't censor it. They just didn't want to put it up on their service.
Yeah.
It's not censoring it. It still exists, right? They didn't change it. They didn't cut anything from it. They just didn't want to have it on their service. And that's, I don't know.
Several other Japanese TV channels.
Who gives a shit? Come on.
People, a lot of people.
I mean,
no,
yeah,
I don't care too much. But like, it's like
no one should care.
They're
trying to understand.
No one should care, but people do.
I think what's crazy is that
someone
people
took something
are,
away from them that they really wanted. Yeah, they don't really want it.
They're now review bombing Full Metal Alchemist on my anime list so that they can get it above
that, but they were also review bombing or like someone like something got a hold and now they're review bombing the reviewer show in turn in Mal. Yes.
Oh my God. I hope so, because that would be like if this thing sits up there.
I
like,
don't know. We should maybe let's check Mal.
This is getting
It's at number two right now. It's at 9.1
right now.
The thing that's really stupid about it, of course, is that none of these people actually like the show.
No,
most of them never. Most of them never watched the show.
Yeah.
But it's like someone took away their anime titty. And it's like which I've never understood. Because if you want to see anime sex that bad, it's a 5-second Google search away, and that's if you're a slow typer.
Yes.
why do you need
plenty of sites to help them?
Why do you need this show to be on? Because you're not getting anything out of the show's not good enough to get anything out of it that way. So you're just watching it for anime sex, and if you need that, there's plenty of places to get that.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit more about control or just being denied something. Like,
yeah, they're all a bunch of man babies. Like,
they're fucking children. Come on.
Yeah, they just don't like being told they can't do something.
They're monsters.
It is one of those things too, where it's like they clearly don't have anything better to do. Like, is this the hill you die on? Even if you're upset,
come on. Even if you're like invested, it's not like this is like a big time sink, right? You're just reviewing a show on. I don't know. I don't know.
We're getting way into.
Yeah, let's move on to a new announcement of a new show. Actually, Pizza, what has been announced?
Well, the webtoon Tower of God has actually been announced to get an anime adaptation. Though I need to double check to see if it's an actual full 12 episode series or if it's just another OVA like how Noblesse got basically an animated OVA a couple years back.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, Tower of God is getting an anime, and I think a lot of people who are familiar with the webtoon field would be excited, because apparently Tower of God is really good. Well, it's one of the higher quality webtoons out there, and if I had to compare it to something, and with a quick glance over like the synopsis and everything, I would basically call it the Korean Naruto, even though it's nothing like Naruto.
It's interesting to me too that we're seeing like, because this is a major like Korean property that they're now turning into an anime. So we've seen some like Chinese anime before, and we had like Radiant, right, which is that French manga artist.
Yes,
and so we're starting to see more and more. Right, like foreign properties getting adapted into Japanese anime, which I think is really interesting.
Yeah. I also find it kind of interesting because this isn't the first Korean property that has actually been adapted to an anime. Like, we've had, like I said before, Noblesse got an anime, but also the Korean manhwa, The Freezing, also got an anime.
Frankly,
a while back.
I don't understand why it's taken this long. Because these are really popular, and a big chunk of the anime industry is in China and Korea, right? So they already have these established fan bases. It's not like the West, like it's totally different than the West. They can just take these, and you know they do extremely well. They're like serialized. They're already drawn. Adapting them would not be hard. They're basically manga. I guess it's a culture thing, but
I think it is.
I'm expecting there's going to be more of these in the future.
Potentially, like with the anime becoming a lot more global, I wouldn't actually be surprised to see a lot more animes of properties that from like different regions around the world. Like, we might even see more French. What do they call French mangas again? I'm just going to call it French manga. So
It's Manfra.
Okay.
Manfra.
And that's what it says.
Let's just call it Le Manga or something.
Le Manga?
Yes. But yeah, I would be surprised to see more like adaptations from properties around the world. Like, we've already gotten a lot of like Marvel superhero anime adaptations already, so it'd be interesting to see if we got some anime adaptations of, I don't know, like Harry Potter or other stuff like the Mistborn trilogy. Because I know Mistborn has actually got localized into Japanese ages ago. Yeah, so that'll be pretty interesting to see. And I'm kind of interested to see where which studio picked up this anime. Well, picked up the license for Tower of God to animate.
So, finally, though, in Resident Evil in real life news, there is currently a virus going on in China called the everyone's referring to it colloquially as coronavirus. It's so things like SARS, for example, the SARS epidemic in 2002, 2003, that was also technically a coronavirus. But it was referred to as SARS because of a condition that most people would develop from getting it. And then now everyone's just been calling this one like new coronavirus. So that's kind of what we're referring to it as. But basically this has been, you know, it's become a huge epidemic in China now. I say huge, but it's, you know, it's roughly, I think like 30,000 or so confirmed cases.
It came from China, so.
Yes. Yeah. And yeah, so a lot of people in Japan have been worried. And now there was basically, and this is the part where it gets Resident Evil, is that there's this cruise ship, and apparently there was an 80-year-old, like, Chinese national who got off the cruise ship at Hong Kong because he was sick. And at the hospital, he was diagnosed with coronavirus. And so then they're like, oh, shit. And they find out that several other people on the cruise ship have coronavirus. And so Japan quarantines the ship because it was trying to dock in Yokohama. And then as of yesterday, they actually discovered an additional 41 cases of coronavirus on this cruise ship. So, like, a ton of people on this ship getting it now.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, what am I? Can you imagine being on that ship, though? You're just locked in your cabin. You're thinking, like, oh, my God, it's coming for me.
Yeah.
If this is my final goodbye, I wish all of you a happy 2020 and enjoy your lives. Rip. I suppose.
Yeah, everyone's like super afraid of it here because, like, in my office, everyone's got the masks on.
It's not just the pan. People have been like freaking out about it everywhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
My favorite things about that boat is they managed to get a hold of somebody. Some American citizens were on there, and they're like, "Help us, President Trump, get us off of here." I'm like, nobody's breaking quarantine to get you off there, man. Might as well just go see if there's anything left in the buffet.
And a couple of Americans, I think, actually were diagnosed with the coronavirus on the ship, too. Like, I think, like, four of them were Americans.
Yes, that sounds about right.
In fact, today they just broke news that the first American citizen died of the disease, but they were, like, in China.
Oh, okay.
But, I mean, at the end of the day, though, I do think that, you know, it's, like, I think right now the death rate is 3%. So if you get it, you'll probably live.
I don't know.
I'm drunk.
We're all
gonna
die.
I think a lot of people are like really freaking out about this, but you like just don't. It's not. Well,
the scary part of coronavirus is, according to statistics right now, so the flu, roughly 0.3% of people, apparently 0.3% of people who get the flu will die of the flu. And the average person who gets the flu will spread it to 1.6 to 1.8 people. Whereas coronavirus, if the statistics right now are accurate, then it is a roughly 3% fatality rate, not 0.3. And it is also the average person spreads it to over 2 people. So it's a little bit more contagious and a little bit more deadly than the flu. Damn. And so
it's
they're worried like that.
More
if that
deadly.
Yeah. So if people are worried that if that spread and became, you know, really big, like, because the flu gets millions of people every year, right? If we had that with coronavirus, it would kill a lot more people. Yep. And they're worried that it's much easier for coronavirus to get to that point if we don't stop it in its tracks. So that is where the fear comes from.
Mm. Yeah, but I mean, the issue is, though, that, like, people are being, like, xenophobic and shit because of it.
Yeah.
Like, people are really overreacting. Like, Like it's gonna kill you, even though you're not in any area, like any case of even getting it. Like, it's just people, it's just chill out. You're yeah. not gonna die of coronavirus if you're in middle of nowhere, Ohio, or something like that. So, you know, like, be reasonable. Don't freak out. You know, it is what it is. It sucks, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't say rude shit to Asian people, you know, because that's everyone's happening, freak out, and that's really unfortunate.
Yeah.
Please don't do that.
So, on that lovely note, let's have a more positive topic and trash on some more people. So today's open topic here, or kind of like our sort of question that I'm posing to our lovely young lads in this chat, is what, in your opinion, is one of the worst fandoms that you can think of? So we've got communities around some property, right? Like a person or a series. It doesn't necessarily have to be anime, but right in the world of the internet, there are just so many toxic fandoms and you hear about them all the time. In my case, the one that like most comes to my mind immediately, like off the top of my head today, especially in like recent news, has really been the Pokemon community. I feel like Pokemon has... I feel like there's a big sort of identity crisis within the community, and it hasn't really lent itself to, you know, like, productive discourse, because you have an issue of, like, they produce a lot of Pokemon games all the time, and the series doesn't necessarily change particularly rapidly between iterations, and then you have that combined with the issue of the fact that there's a huge growing section of the fan base who have aged out of their kiddie phase and but still like Pokemon and they want to be catered to, but then there's still kind of that core target audience to a certain extent of younger children, and Nintendo still wants to cater to them, and you've got kind of back and forths with money, and then obviously the biggest flashpoint has been over the disinclusion of certain Pokemon in the most recent game, and I just think the whole like discourse on either side is just really toxic and obnoxious, and I've kind of had enough of it.
Yeah, I would also, I completely agree on that. Like, to some extent...
I'm not sure if it's, like, the worst. Sure, like, the whole Sword Shield, like, discussion,
you gotta
it's pretty toxic, but, like, there's so many members of the community that are, like, super wholesome and stuff. Talk about, like, Pokemon Mystery Dungeon. They just got, like, a remake, right? Mystery Dungeon fandom is, like, super happy, super excited. They're always positive. Ultimately, it's a Nintendo franchise, right? So you're always going to get these like amazing people who are just
I feel like one thing, so on the Pokemon Mystery Dungeon thing, is I feel like it's almost a separate community. Like everyone who likes Mystery Dungeon is a subset, right? Like they like Pokemon in general, but the vast majority of Pokemon fans and most of the people complaining about Sword and Shield have never touched Mystery Dungeon in their lives. But the other point, though, is that it's all anecdotal evidence, right? Like, my point, like, there are good people in every single fandom, and I love Pokemon, and I'd like to think that even though I'm within the fandom, I am not a toxic person. Some people might disagree with that statement, and that's fine. But it's like, right, like, my point, though, is that it has been a very visible and difficult to deal with fandom in the past few months, and it's really, like, made it difficult to just like chat about Pokemon like casually online. And so for that, I say that they are a not enjoyable fandom and I don't like them very much. And so off the top of my head, they are one of the worst fandoms of 2019.
Press F.
But what about you, Reikaze?
Okay, so we kind of have a mini ATSC podcast here. We have Gugsy and Rek. So I'm going to say that Boston sports fans are absolutely the worst fans in anything you can find.
Fuck the entire city. Fuck all everybody that lives there and everyone who works for their sports teams can all go jump in the ocean and die.
Dude, as a fellow fan of the sports, I have to agree with you guys. Very terrible Boston boo.
Yeah, I mean, Boston Red Sox fans have always been bad. And then the Patriots became the all unstoppable juggernaut, and those people are even worse. And I can't even talk about Celtics fans. Like, so, the entire spectrum of sports, if you're from Boston or root for Boston, you suck.
I As a New Yorker,
the worst part about Boston fans is that all of their franchises are wildly successful.
Just gonna let it be.
So every one of their teams gets champions and has winning seasons, and it's like but then they always
a bad fandom.
Yeah, there's
how did we get this right?
They always win, and
that's the part. You're bitter. You're bitter. I can feel it.
Well, he's right that they always win. They're wildly successful, but they act nonstop.
They bitch constantly. They're the most whiny pieces of shit.
Dude, what about Philly? What about Philly?
Philly doesn't win.
It's fun to see Philly
get pissed off. They're always mad. But in like an endearing way.
Imagine you know a guy who's wildly successful. Like he keeps getting breaks, everything seems to go his way, and then he gets a flat tire and he flips out like his life is the worst. That's Boston sports fans.
This is when you know Rock has only been a Giants fan.
Dude, what happened to you not getting into New York, Gugsy?
Or 10, 12, 14, whatever that year was.
All right, but I will give the floor to you. But I'm giving you the floor so you can answer it with your own answer. What is one of the worst fandoms in your mind? Beyonce. That's a total change.
Beyonce. I mean, it's rough. If you don't like Beyonce, it's rough. I'm not.
What about BTS fans?
If you're not a Beyonce fan, good.
They're
good
kind
luck.
Of just obnoxious, right? They're not like.
No, BTS fans send like death threats to like Halsey for doing a collab with BTS. Like, it's some weird ass shit.
Has anybody else besides Gugs ever run into like a really annoying Beyonce fan? Because I don't think I ever.
I've never heard of this in my life. Is this like a thing that you and Dex have going on? Like Dex is aggressively a fan of Beyonce, and it's just kind of turned you off of the entire fandom.
Dex will not stop playing Single Ladies.
He just won't stop. He's trying to get Gugsy to put a ring on it.
No, because
I feel like you shouldn't put a ring on it.
Because I will not even. I will never try. Because
so what we need
try.
To do now when the podcast even, comes out I'm is never just even spam Dex. That'll be the plan.
But what about who do I want to torture next?
Oh,
pizza.
God. No. Pizza. No.
You did it to yourself.
Fine. Yeah, if I have to call out anybody, it's probably just going to be Gacha Gaming in general.
Gacha Gaming in general. I saw that one coming a mile away.
Well, Jesus Christ. You will not believe how toxic some people can be, especially when they feel like they are owed something from the gacha. Gacha doesn't owe you anything. You owe the gacha.
I feel like that's a toxic mindset to begin with.
Yes, it is. In all seriousness, I just say I feel like people generally feel that if there's like some kind of paid mechanic in the game, then the game is obviously pay to win. And I kind of feel like those kinds of people just don't want to either, one, take the time to actually research and try to get good at the game, or they just feel like the game itself shouldn't have any paid mechanics, which is kind of silly because...
But, like, wouldn't you say that gachas are usually pay to win? Like, if I'm a guy with $2,000 and I drop it on this game, like, aren't I going to, like, whip your ass 90% of the time?
How many gacha games have PvP, though? It's almost always PvE.
A lot of them are PvE, but there are like games where it is like a score attack mode, and if you can pull the gacha more, then you can easily just rack up rack up units that can basically get you more points more quickly. Uh-huh. But that, and honestly, there's mechanics to essentially balance that out where those whales are placed against other whales, so you're basically most of the time just going to be playing with people of your own skill level or pay level, essentially.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, a lot of gacha games have like really, if they have poorly balanced economies, then the game itself, the game becomes very pay to win, which is very unfortunate because a lot of those games do have. I'm just talking in general, but specifically, I'm thinking about Mario Kart Tour right now.
What game is this again?
Yeah, but yeah, in Mario Kart Tour, the economy in that game is extremely poorly balanced.
Mario Kart.
I honestly don't think Mario Kart Tour wasn't made by Nintendo.
Right? Is doing this. Kind
it's made of by thing? DNA, but it's licensed by, you know, like Nintendo is like paying DNA to make mobile games.
Are you sure it's made by DNA? I know.
I don't know if Mario Kart is, but DNA had a license to make several Nintendo games, so they're definitely behind quite a few of them at least.
Yeah, like I know a lot. DNA is behind a few of them, like Pokemon Masters, which is actually really fucking good now. Well, I wouldn't say it's really good. It's just that they give out gacha currency like candy now, and it's like you can pull as much as you want, and the rates are like stupid good. Like, it's 10% to get an SSR in that game, which is...
So, to get back to the point, though, the community is toxic because people get really entitled about gacha rolls.
Yeah.
So, and on that note, though, Requiem, what about you? Right. Last but not least, maybe least, I don't know, you tell me.
Probably. My first instinct was to say... Smash Brothers
probably
means,
least.
Won't stop bitching about Witch Fighters.
Yes, Smash Brothers is terrible. I hate that.
Yeah,
and also all of the goons who like insist that Melee is the greatest thing that's ever been made.
That's the least.
You have to play with the GameCube controller.
Yeah, I got to get my 90s television set out. Hold on, guys.
You're not playing on our CRT, you're not playing right.
It's a great competitive game because we exploit all of these shitty glitches in the game design to make it competitive. Okay. I'm just kidding. That's my hot take for the day. What is your point there, Requiem?
Well, I was gonna say because those guys have been really annoying lately. But the worst fandom I've encountered in the recent years is a fandom so toxic that it made me embarrassed to like the thing that it was based on. And that's the fandom around Rick and Morty. These people are such tremendous assholes. I'm ashamed to tell people I like the show now because they might think I'm like them.
I've been really feeling the same way with visual novels lately.
I do feel like with the Rick and Morty thing, though, is that some of it, like, for example, one of the biggest ones was that whole, like, the guy who jumped up on the register and screamed, "I'm Pickle Rick," and, like, rolled around. But that guy was, like, a YouTube troll. Like, he wasn't even... He was just doing... It was one of those, like, guys...
Yeah, that's just a guy being a troll. But, I mean, the relentless assholes will go after anybody who says they don't like the show because they don't get its super deep levels of philosophy, which it's not. It's using nihilism to be funny. The assholes almost caused a riot at a McDonald's because they didn't have fucking Szechuan sauce. That kind of stuff, whatever. It's too far.
Yeah, I remember that. That was pretty yikes.
Definitely.
To the point where you don't want to be associated with... Like, I love that show, but I don't want to be associated with these fucking people.
Yeah, no, that's definitely true.
So that's the worst I could think of.
All right. So with that, we have finally arrived at the end of our time here on the Annotate Podcast for today. So first off, I just want to thank our lovely laddies for joining us today. I had with me Gugsy, Pizza, Requiem, and Ray Kaze.
Hey.
And we had a good time talking about some recent Winter 2020 anime shows as well as some of the latest news. And then finally, some really terrible fandoms. Yeah. So if you enjoyed this podcast, definitely subscribe to us on any of your podcast services. You can also always check out annotate.org or annotate.kinja.com to check out all of our latest hot takes on upcoming anime. This podcast airs every 2 weeks, so hopefully the next episode will come out around 2 weeks after this episode airs. And of course, we have our social media accounts. You can check us out on Twitter, which is at AnnotateOfficial. And you can also check out our Facebook page. So on that note, stay tuned, and we will see you guys next time. Thank you for listening. Oh.